You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Whenabouts do you touch down in New Zealand?
Thursday morning. What day is it there now? Tuesday?
Tuesday, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, have you been to New Zealand before?
Yeah, this will be my third time. Last time was 2018, but I just played one show in Auckland, I think.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, yeah. Is there any reason for you coming down to New Zealand in particular?
Well, I was in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a festival in Sydney, Australia, so we set up some shows around that, and then, yeah, it made sense to go to New Zealand as well for a few shows.
Oh, lovely. And you're touring with Black Belt Eagle Scout. Where did you meet her? Yeah. Where did that relationship sort of form?
We're from the same place, pretty much. Swinomish she's like Indigenous from right next to where I grew up, Anacortes. So we grew up sort of in the same small town music community.
I wanted to go back to sort of your early days a little bit to start off with. So your music in the old days was incredibly dynamic. It sort of had these euphoric, dark soundscapes, and sometimes it's really explosive and noisy and raw and intimate. So I was just wondering how you achieved such a range of sounds at the time, and also how you made it sound really cohesive.
Well, I guess experimentation is the short answer. Just spending a lot of time in the studio, trying things out, and making a lot of mistakes and keeping a lot of mistakes.
Just
experimenting.
Was there anything in particular you were doing, I guess, differently from other artists, do you think, that allowed you, because I guess it was a bit different at the time to have such an atmospheric sound attached to a more folk singer-songwriter vocal style?
Yeah, I guess so. That is true, I think. I don't know. Maybe I've just always been so like immersed in the idea that I don't have that zoomed out perspective so much. I'm just kind of doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
Because I listen to like acoustic songs with words and folk stuff, but I also listen to really atmospheric and experimental stuff. And it just seemed like I liked both of those things. I didn't want to have to pick just one. And still I have this thought in my head, like, oh, I should really just make an ambient album. Or I actually have made a lot of just straight up acoustic guitar and singing albums. Yeah. I've done that one, but normally it just seems more interesting to me to explore the whole breadth of tone that's possible with recording.
I looked a bit at your discography and you've done a movie soundtrack, but I don't think the movie was ever released. Would you ever consider doing something like that again?
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. I like the opportunity. I don't know. The idea comes up. The invitations happen. Actually, just like 30 minutes ago, got an email of an invitation of that exact thing. Normally, I tend to say no because I have all these ideas of my own, and I feel like it's a lot of time to devote to composing and recording music. So and my time is limited just in life as a parent and as like a human being. So I have to be a little more choosy. And also I would want to make the movie too.
Yeah. I've seen some of even your most recent album, Microphones in 2020, and that other short film you've made recently, I think released last year, is sort of, you're getting into a little bit more filmmaking. So is that a direction you see yourself heading in the future?
Maybe, yeah. There have been times, I mean, originally when I was a teenager, that was my plan, was to be a filmmaker, and then music just sort of filled that space, and it still is. And maybe I think about music making in the same way that I would have thought about movie making.
Mm.
But the thought is always there, like, oh, eventually I'll get back to that, or I'll get around to it. I haven't quite wrapped my mind around the logistics. It's so like one step more complicated think about the visuals.
Yeah. You're most famous for your work as The Microphones and Mount Airy, but I also wanted to talk a little bit about your time as Tugboat, D+, and in particular, Old Time Religion. I guess on D+, you met Carl Blau. Can you talk about your relationship with him, and has he had any influence on your music overall?
Definitely, yeah. Carl Carl was the person that I usually think of as kind of opening my mind to the possibilities of recording. I was kind of unfamiliar with the idea that you could create whole universes with like four track recording, home recording. I knew it was existed out there, but it was like I'd never seen it. And Carl walked into the record store where I worked with this four track, and just spent the day, like he found an outlet in the back of the store and just was like in his own zone recording actually in the back. And I didn't know him very well, but it just kind of blew my mind. Like, wow, he just made this album back there and it sounds amazing and weird. He was just like using whatever was around him for instruments. That opened my mind. So yeah, that's kind of a major influence.
So, is that sort of an influence in terms of the space you used for recording?
Yeah, I think maybe the influence was that space, it doesn't matter so much, or it does matter, but to not be too uptight about trying to like neutralize any given space, but actually work with the conditions around you. Same with the sound of things, just like go with the flow more. And Carl walking around with a four track and a duffel bag was like extremely go with the flow, very wandering hippie guy. But yeah, I think that. And then later I went to college a little bit and took some recording courses and got the other perspective of like scientifically dead in the room and like add reverb later if you want it to sound like it's in a space. And I just was like, huh, that's not the approach that I want to do. And it seemed more like the kind of industrial mass production way of making music. And I'm much more into the sloppy, I guess.
Because you weren't at college for a very long time, were you? Did you study music at college?
Two quarters, and no, I didn't study music. I don't know what I studied. It was a kind of an experimental school.
No, I wanted to ask you because New Zealand is famous for its natural landscape, and we have an indigenous people called the Māori, and a part of their culture is being the tangata whenua, which means being very spiritually devoted to the land, or it translates literally to people of the land. And I think your music sort of reflects a similar spirituality and connection to the land. Can you try and explain why you have this connection?
Yeah, that's true. It is like that. I do feel that way. As for why I feel that way, I don't know. To me, it's just like that's seems correct. It seems like, I guess if you ask like a Maori person, why do you feel that way? It's like self-evidence. Like, why do you not? Yeah, it's a difficult thing to explain, I guess. It just seems like we aren't separate from the world around us. We're made of it, and we like are born and we'll die and turn back into the place where we live. So seems obvious.
That's a beautiful perspective you have, and it reflects really well in your music, which I think makes it very beautiful.
Thank you.
And in the past, you've cited bands like Sonic Youth, Bjork, Stereolab. I also liked your references to Steve Reich in that random Belgian interview that you did. But I was just wondering, instead of maybe musical references, are there any writers or literature, pieces of literature that have inspired your work?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, tons. I read a lot of poems. I feel like maybe the stuff that makes it most directly into the songs is like straight up Buddhist stuff. Buddhist poetry, or not poetry, just like sutras or philosophy. And I'm not trying to make like religious Buddhist music at all, but the ideas in there really seem so fruitful to me. And maybe I didn't set out to do this, but I realized at one point, like, oh, so many of these songs I'm making are me trying to condense this kind of complicated esoteric idea that I read in this Buddhist thing into everyday grounded language that I would be able to understand.
Oh, that's very interesting. What sort of contents do Buddhist poems surround?
Well, maybe trying to, geez, that's a big one. How to summarize Buddhism. How to get comfortable with the impermanence and the changing nature of things, and to like sit in this kind of awake and comfortable way with the present moment. And I don't know, it seems like music has the ability to sort of bring forth that state of awareness in the listener. It's possible.
That's very interesting. And is naturalism a huge part of, I guess, your ability to be still and trying to, be in a moment and reflecting that in your music?
Maybe. I'm not sure what you mean by naturalism, I guess. Like,
Just sort of, I guess, your version of translating your emotional states depicted by nature.
like using metaphors about the weather or fog or like the natural world to talk about what's going on with me. Is that what you mean? Yeah, that's more like I think of that as like a vocabulary question.
Right.
And I use those types of metaphors maybe because they seem the most universal, the more, and also better and bigger and yeah, more universal, more relatable than if I were to just say like, I woke up this morning and I went to my car and I drove down the street to the grocery store and I thought this thought and I felt love and then I felt anger and jealousy and then like just saying the thing directly doesn't work. That songs and poems don't work that way.
Your writing puts you in a pretty vulnerable place a lot of the time. You're talking about very personal things sometimes as well. And I was just wondering, did you come with any resistance with that initially? Was that difficult to bring out in your music?
Yeah, it was in a way, it was, well, actually, no, it was not difficult to bring out. It's sort of writing when it's flowing, it comes out naturally. The difficult part was once it was made, once I wrote, like I'm thinking of the more kind of revealing stuff, the more personal and raw songs that I've made. Writing them comes naturally, actually feels like good and therapeutic. But the question of whether or not anyone else should hear it, that's the tricky part. And I definitely have gone through periods of like, oof. Maybe that's too much. Maybe I should keep that one to myself.
And I think that must quite create quite an interesting dynamic with your fans as well, because usually when you think of a musician having a fan base, it's like people who idolize them. I played Climb Over, for example, to my girlfriend the other day when I told her about this interview, and it brought her to tears almost instantly.
Oh.
But what's it like having that sort of relationship with your fans when you know a lot of it's sort of sad or connecting in a very vulnerable level?
Yeah, I think for better or for worse, I have to sort of protect my own ego from it or something. I have to ignore thinking about too much about like how other people are relating to it because I recognize from a distance that it's like occasionally a pretty potent reaction. And if I were to dwell on that too much, I think it would mess with my head. So mostly, I'm in the dark about it.
So does that mean you sort of feel a little bit distant from your fans, or?
It's weird, yeah, because I like actually want to connect or I want to be close. I want to be available. I don't want to, like when I'm playing a show, I don't hang out backstage. I like to like work at the merch table. I like to just be a human being that's available. So I'm not trying to be mysterious, or distant or anything. At the same time, I'm not. Yeah, we're living in a weird time. I feel like I've read about this like idea of parasocial relationships. You know about that? And that's just like emblematic of our time. And maybe that's a little bit what it feels like to make some songs or some work of art that is personal, that creates the feeling of familiarity. And people, because maybe our actual like meat and flesh and real and dirt society is no longer part of people's lived experience as much. They build these social relationships virtually, and the the clarity about what's real breaks down. So, yeah, I think that does go on a little bit with my music sometimes, and that's weird, but also it's understandable. I don't know what to do about it. I'm not going to like retreat further. I still feel like the valid thing to do when making art is to express yourself authentically and totally.
Yeah, I guess it must be difficult because I think maybe some fans would feel like they know you almost because it's just the vulnerable position. You don't really get to hear that from many people unless you're in a personal space with them. So I guess,
sure,
have you had any interactions with fans that have been a bit strange around that?
Yeah, for sure. No, it's more just that exactly what you say. People even just like the usual thing when a famous person or like a person who's known, their face is known out there in the world, somebody's like, "Hey, Adam," to Adam Sandler. And Adam Sandler doesn't know the person. They're like, whenever that happens to me, rarely, but it happens. Mm. Like, "Hey, Phil." I'm like, "Oh, I forgot your name." Like, I don't remember that they may know me from my pictures on the internet or whatever. And so that alone is so trippy and weird. Like, I just have that feeling of like, "Oh crap, I forgot your name. Are you my cousin's friend? Or like, where did we meet before?"
Yeah.
I forget that there's this like alternate reality going on somewhere.
I know you've stayed in some cabins or some creepy places in the time. And also like some, sort of low budget places to write your music. And I was wondering if you had any creepy cabin stories.
I have lived in some cabins, but I don't think of any of them as creepy. They're super cozy and, small, but luxurious.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, there were some spooky times in the winter, like 20 years ago now. I lived in this one for the winter in Norway, and I was by myself for a really long time, and it was dark all the time because it was in the Arctic. And so, yeah, I had some, like, hallucinating beasts in the darkness. Lots of that. But that was like my own whole kind of winter transformation I was going through.
Yeah. Can you elaborate more on sort of what that lifestyle looked like? What was a typical day in Norway in the mountains in the snow?
Hmm. Yeah, I just had to gather firewood. If there was light in the sky, I had to go out and bundle up in my snow gear and go collect wood to burn and keep the fire going because there was no electricity or other heat, and there was no water either. So I had to gather snow to melt down for water, drink, and cook with. And then I read by candlelight the whole rest of the time and played guitar a lot and did drawings, wrote letters to people. That's it. It was just like being on a meditation retreat, basically.
And did you write music while you were up there? Was that sort of, I guess, Mount Airy original music release or?
Yeah, kind of. The album Dawn is that the collection of those songs. Like,
oh, gotcha,
Climb
yeah.
Over, the song you're talking about, that was written there.
Yeah. Last time I saw an interview of you, you said you and your child were really into 100 gigs. So
yeah.
I was interested if there's any updates on the music taste down there.
I still like them.
Yeah.
Their new album is funny. It's like, yeah, a lot of ska, a lot of like rap metal, Limp Bizkit influence. That was surprising. Updates on the music. Yeah, I mean, my daughter, she just likes the pop station. And so we stay up with what the pop hits are. And I learn a lot. I learn a lot about new ideas about how to think about music from that. Nothing really stays a favorite for that long but it's like a constant flow of candy.
Are there any new artists you personally are very fond of?
Oh man, I should have an answer for this, but I just don't. I'm sort of in my, like, I listen to the pop station and just let it flow through without really latching on. And maybe that's how lots of people listen to music these days, with like this algorithm choosing what we listen to and then not even paying attention to who it was or what album it was or what song it was.
About your relationship with Spotify then and making music through there, because I noticed your last album you released, Microphones, in 2020, that was only released on YouTube. Is there any reason for that specifically?
Yeah, Spotify and YouTube also, though. I mean, all the music streaming services are really bad for the artists because they pay so unfairly. And maybe not everyone knows that, but I wish everyone knew that. It's really, really destructive to like the creative future of humans on Earth because they, yeah, it doesn't support financially the artists that they make tons of money from. So it pays them tiny, tiny fractions of a penny, but it's just a really bad model. That's partly, I mean, I still have a lot of my albums on there, but the last album I put up, I didn't put it on there partly because it was just one track. It was like one super long track, and I felt like that would be giving it away way too much, like even more than if it was 16 tracks or whatever. It's on YouTube because I made a little movie to go with it, and it was the only place for that. But yeah.
Yeah, and in that you showcased a lot of your photography work as well, and I know you've also released a photography book as well. Are you planning to do more of that in the future?
Yeah, maybe. Probably. I love making books. I love making books, and I'm still taking lots of photos. I don't want to use up all of my chances to make photography books in life, but yeah, I love doing
Speaking of microphones in 2020, that was 3 years ago now or so. Are you planning on releasing any new music anytime soon?
Yeah, I've been recording lately. I'm not sure when it will come out, but I'm about halfway through an album.
Can we expect anything? Is it sort of going down this acoustic route you've been doing recently, or are you going to do something more atmospheric?
Yeah, it's more atmospheric, more noisy, more experimental. It's all over the place.
It's been a pleasure to meet you. You're an absolute legend of singer-songwriting and the whole indie scene and music. It's genuinely such a privilege to interview someone like you. And you have
Thank
such an
you.
interesting life story. So thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview with me.
Thanks for having me.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.